Sure, wonderful. Good morning. Nice to have you with us again, also online. If you switched on, welcome here. And I want to start with a prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for a wonderful new day. I thank you for the morning. I thank you for the birds, for the sun that is rising. I thank you for life that we have the privilege of not only knowing you, but also having so many promises that you present us in your word. And I pray in Jesus' name that we are more and more able to receive everything and understand and take in faith everything that you told us. Amen. A few years ago, I was on the way back home with my kids, and we stopped by a supermarket, and my wife went into the supermarket, and it took a little bit longer. And after maybe 5 minutes, my son asked, "Why is mommy taking so long?" And I told him, "Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's normally because there's a big snake in the shop." And in German, in the language, you use the word snake when people put a line in front of the to pay. And so you had big eyes, "Oh, it's a snake in supermarket? My mom is there?" And so often, we get not only the language, but also in the Bible, when we read and when we learn about love, we get things twisted. And today, I want to present two different kinds of love that I think that helps help us to understand how God's love is from season to season different for us. And that helps us to really understand how much God loves us. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of James in the New Testament. There we find a verse that explains how God uses his word to bring fruit in our lives. And this morning I brought you some fruits, my favorite fruit. It's a strawberry. Maybe it's also your favorite fruit in this season when the summer is coming. You find many strawberries in the shops. And I taste it. No, it's okay. Not the best one, but it's okay. Yeah, and if you look on the outside, you find many seeds. It's not with other fruits that you find the kernels inside the fruit, but with strawberries, it's right on top, right on the outside. So if you want to plant your own strawberries, you can just peel off the skin with the seeds, take out the seeds and put them into your soil. And I ask you, how does this strawberry know how to look like? Who told the strawberry to be red? Who told the strawberry to have some little funny hair here? And how to taste, how big to become, how to smell? Who told the strawberry to become like that? We read the verse, and afterwards, I think we understand. I read James chapter 1, the verse 21. And it says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." If you think about Matthew chapter 13, or also 1 Peter 23, it talks about a seed being planted in our hearts. And of course, the seed is only planted because there should grow some fruit. And here it says that the word is planted in you. And the word does not come as a beautiful fruit. God does not put a fruit into my heart. He puts a seed. And if I pick up here a little seed, that's a little seed. And if you imagine who told the strawberry to be so delicious and so beautiful, it is all the information. It's in that little seed. And that is a miracle for me. All the information, all the DNA that this strawberry has is already here, packed into that little tiny seed. And if you find that on the ground, you would give nothing for it. You would not even bend down to take it. And if you plant strawberries It's so difficult once you put into the soil. It's so difficult to find and to find the difference between that precious seed that has so much information. You cannot even distinguish it to the dirt that is around it. So the seed, the word of God that is presented to us, is sometimes not so, it does not seem to be precious. It does not look very beautiful. And sometimes you have the impression when you read the word of God, there are so many commandments all the time. Be humble, do this, don't do that, and be obedient. And sometimes maybe we run the risk of not realizing how powerful this little friend here is and how powerful it is if you read the Word of God daily. If you allow the Holy Spirit to plant those things that in the first second, maybe it does not taste so beautiful. But over the time, if you allow the Holy Spirit, if you allow a heart that has the circumstances, a good soil, this little seed will bring beautiful fruit. And the Word of God is not only given to us so that we are informed and get a big head, but it is given to us not only to inform us, but to transform us, to give us a bigger, not head, but a bigger heart. And I want to encourage you, never, never, ever, especially if you have a challenging season right now, never ever leave the Bible aside, because it's the hope that we have. It's the way that God wants to work in your life. And it's oftentimes, yes, it's like a little seed that does not look beautiful, that does not look great. But if I am faithful in allowing the Holy Spirit to put His seeds into my heart, it will bring fruit in the right season. It will bring the fruits that we in a few seconds read about that are so, so precious. The Word of God has power, not always in our emotions, but it has power to bring the fruit of God in your life. And of course, if we talk about fruit, we need to read Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, we find a place in the Bible that we should know. The fruit of the Spirit, we all should immediately think about Galatians 5:22. But I want to start a little bit earlier in the chapter. In the verses 16 to 19, Paul describes the context, because there's not only the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe if you read the chapter, you know there are also different types of fruit. And he starts to say in verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." In verse 19, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry," and he goes on to list many, many things that are the fruit of my self-centered, egoistic nature that is inside. And then in 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So he describes here that there is good and bad fruit. And we should not overlook that, because if you look into your heart, if you look into your feelings, into your behavior every day, of course, there is not just those beautiful fruits that you desire and that are so tasty and delicious for you and for other people. No, there's also sometimes fruit where you know it's bad. It's tasting awful and it's making people sick. It's destroying or demolishing relationships through sometimes through our words, through our behavior, things we do or we do not do. We make people sad. Sometimes we are not a good testimony to the world, showing God's love to them. And especially in challenge seasons when you're not healthy, when you're not, did not sleep well, when things are really tough in your life, sometimes we realize there's also bad fruit. And in verse 19, God did not give us a compliment. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, and so on. All the self-centered things that come out of our hearts sometimes. And it's not a compliment, but still it's an encouragement. Because God knows what we need. And He's not shocked by you realizing that you sinned. He's not shocked. He knows the old operating system inside of your heart. It is with many, many failures. It's normal for us, if we live out of our sinful lifestyle, of our self-centered, sinful heart and nature that we earned or that we received from Adam, God knows that we can sin only if I live in my old self. But He also gives us the solution. And this is what I appreciate at the gospel so much. Sometimes when I talk to my students, and they come from different religions, I never have the feeling that there is a solution presented to the problems of the world, to the problems that and challenges that I have. That by the Bible, sometimes it's not very polite to us. It shows us truth, and it shows us the problems we have, but always there's a solution. And not only God helping us from time to time. No, I received not only the Holy Spirit, I received a whole new creation. And that new creation, filled by the Holy Spirit, this is our hope and our solution for our self-centered old nature that we have. And the two kinds of love that are so easily found, but sometimes it could be such a great help to us, is this. We also love to be cuddled, but we also need a coach. If you think about the different relationships that you have, it's obvious that you do not have the same love to your spouse, to your children, to strawberry cake, to FC Bayern München, or to your colleagues that you have at work. Of course, it's not the same kind of love. And one big difference is that we need somebody to cuddle. So that we need somebody to show us our value, to encourage us, to appreciate us, to give us time to find our value. But it's also important that we do not only have people to cuddle, but that we also have a coach. And what does a coach do? A coach is sometimes not very polite to you. If you think about sports, a coach is not there only to compliment the guys who train. He's not only to say, "Oh, it's so hard for you training today," or "You do not feel like training today, do you?" No, he says, "Get on the field, one round more. You can do it. Don't be weak. Don't be self-centered. Get out there and train. Become strong. You know the fight is coming." That's the language of a coach. And we need both ways of love. And God is our Father, and He does speak both languages. He's not only there to cuddle you. He's also a coach. And He's a professional coach to prepare you for the things ahead in your life. So do not be shocked when seasons are challenging and God seems to be so far away. The coach is not far away. He stands at the line and He's watching you. And He knows when you need a cuddling, but he knows when you need encouraging and maybe a little bit hard and straight words from a coach. Sometimes I talk to my kids in a very polite and nice way, but sometimes I put weights on them. Not because I'm angry and frustrated with them, because I know through those weights, he will become strong. And that's the same way with God. Sometimes God puts weights on us. And sometimes it even feels like it's too much. Paul, in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said he went nearly to the point where he was so frustrated about life that he nearly gave up. But he said it was in order that he realized that there is a Holy Spirit inside of us, a supernatural life inside of us that we need so much. And I want to encourage you that you should find that love in your family, but also in the church. In the family and in the church, you have parents. People you do not choose, they choose you. And sometimes they put you in challenges and give you tasks that are not nice and comfortable. But they are important in order that you grow. And it's so important that we have people who cuddle us, where we feel so valuable and so wonderful, and we find our value that we have. But it's also important to have people that you allow, that the Holy Spirit uses them in your life. And they bring not nice things, they do not bring nice feelings into your life maybe, but they are important. You need your parents. And your parents, they have to have the task from God to correct you, to train you, in order that we become strong and mature. And I want to really encourage you, let us allow people to cuddle, but also to be a coach in my life. And if you have challenging situations in your life right now, allow the Holy Spirit to use the seed, the Word of God, to be planted into your heart every day. And you will see by time that there's also a season of reaping wonderful fruit that are very delicious and healthy, not only for yourself, but also for the people around you. And I want to really invite you and encourage you, use and live that season of Pentecost that we celebrate right now as a church. Take part in the services that we have every night. Take part in your preparation at home. Read the book of Acts, especially the first few chapters that talk about Pentecost and the consequences and the fruit of Pentecost. I really encourage you, take that as a special season in your life to seek the Holy Spirit and to ask for more of Him. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful word. I thank you that you give us not only your word, but you give us understanding that we receive your word in the way that you want. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you cuddle us. You love to cuddle us, to embrace us and to encourage us, to show us our value, how much you love us. But also you want to remind us this morning that you are a coach and you want at any cost us to become mature, to become strong, to become good soldiers and good fighters, because there are challenging times right now and also challenging seasons that will come, and you want to prepare us that we are able to be a good testimony, that people see in us the power of God, and we allow you, Holy Spirit, to work in the ways that you like, and we even allow people to train us, to be a coach for us. We allow them to do a wonderful work of God in our lives. Amen.